May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich blessings and mercy be upon you this day. Amen. I want to talk about the epistle today. That's our text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. What can we learn about the church today? Our church, the Thessalonian church, we pray as we consider the Word of God. Lord, plant the seed of your holy word deep in our hearts this day. Cause it to grow in us and produce faith and understanding, repentance and wisdom. Lord, be with us and grant us all the Holy Spirit. Bless the teaching, preaching, hearing of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was growing up, and I was playing with my younger brother, Jim, my mom would often pull me aside for a moment and kind of put her hands on my shoulders and say, "Now, Paul, you're an example to your younger brother. You're an example to your younger brother. Are you going to be a good example or a bad example? You're an example." And sadly, I was often a bad example, and yet my younger brother turned out okay anyhow. In our epistle, we learn about a church that is an example to all the other churches. So we ought to pay attention. This is the model church of the New Testament, if you will. The ideal church, as sinful as it is, yet St. Paul remarkably says, as he begins this letter, and he's writing to the Thessalonians, he says, "So you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything about it. Everybody knows about you." Back then, all the churches around the area were talking about the Thessalonian church, Paul says. You're an example, and you're a great example. Wow. The model church of the New Testament, the Thessalonians. How would you describe the model church, the ideal church? Well, people would probably say the big church. You know, where every week it's like Easter, or overflowing crowds, got to set up chairs, just people everywhere. That's the model church, a really, really big church. Or others would say the church that has just beautiful facilities, beautiful sanctuary, facilities are just clean and pristine. That's the model church. It looks great from the outside and on the inside, model church. Others would say, well, it's the church that has the calendar is full. They got activities every day for every group, people everywhere all the time, tons of activities on the calendar. That's the model church. Others would say the model church is the rich church. They got money in that church. They give a lot of offerings. They take care of everybody there. They can give a lot to missions. That's the model church because they're rich and they're generous. What does St. Paul say about the Thessalonians here that would make them an example to First Lutheran and to all other churches? I note three characteristics that he writes about here as he remembers them and is writing to them. There's nothing wrong with being big and having beautiful facilities and activities and being rich. Nothing wrong with that at all, but he doesn't mention any of that here in the text. First of all, the Thessalonians work. The model church is hard at work. They work and they work and they work. They labor for their Lord and one another and for the whole world. They're a working church with joy and gladness, full of the Holy Spirit. Note that's the first thing Paul says about the Thessalonians. He was an apostle there, ministered there, planted the church there. As he remembers them, has heard about them, first thing he mentions is their hard work, their labor. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before God, our God and Father, your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He uses three terms here that stand out. First of all, you work. And the meaning here is your work prompted by faith. Your labor prompted by love. Your steadfastness prompted by the hope that you have. It's moved and motivated by that. First of all, he mentions the word work. First word about them, work. We don't necessarily like that word, do we? What work is Paul talking about when he thinks about this church? Is he thinking about meetings over here, committees over here, talking, discussing things? There's nothing wrong with that. That's needed sometimes. I don't think that's what Paul's talking about. A church meeting or a committee meeting. The word can be summed up in one word, and that word is love. Paul's thinking, no doubt, about love. As I remember you Thessalonians, I remember how you love each other. Though you're all sinners, you're from different backgrounds, some Jews, some Gentiles, you should really hate each other. You have for years, and yet how you love each other, and you work hard at it. Love is hard work, we all know that. He's thinking of how the members care for each other. They love each other, encouraging each other, pray for each other, forgive each other. They're there for each other. How you work hard at love, and everybody talks about how you love each other. Now that's a model church. Another term he uses is labor. The word here means even harder work, if you will. This is the dirty work Paul's thinking of, the work no one else wants to do. What's he referring to? We don't know for sure. I suggest maybe he's referring to how they don't just love themselves. That's important in a church, to care for the body. He's thinking of how they love their enemies. They love those that persecute them. And they care for them too and pray for them too. That's dirty work, the blood, sweat, and tears work to love your enemies. And he's thinking of how they love the unlovable of the society. How they labor and they love blood, sweat, and tears for the outcast, the orphan, the widow, the tax collector, the prostitute. All those that the society throws out as bums, the homeless, the drunks, the alcoholics, those on drugs, get rid of them, they don't belong in the church. That might be who he's talking about. How you labor in mercy and compassion for all the outcasts that no one else cares about, but you love them and care for them and want to teach them of Jesus. A model church always labors in great mercy for those that nobody else cares about and would cast off and say, you're scum, you don't belong because you're a bum. The church never gives up. The church shows mercy and compassion, knowing that everybody is made by God and God would have all be saved. Maybe that's what he's thinking about, their labor. And then they're steadfast is the third term. Means they endure in this. They don't just love every once in a while. It's easy for a church to do some great thing one time a year, but all the other 364 days of the year we won't care about people, but one time we'll care about people. He's talking about every day this is their life. It's their life 24-7 to love and love and love everybody and love some more and love when you're tired and love some more. That's what's on Paul's mind. And it all has the right motivation too. The Thessalonians are not loving to get something back from God or to show off, look at how good we are, we're better than everybody else. They're not doing it out of guilt, we have to do this because no one else will. But they're motivated by faith and love, the love of Christ and the hope of heaven. It's the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Holy Spirit and Christ and His cross that motivates them. They can't help but love. And this is the model church. You know, last weekend I did some landscaping around the house. We needed to pull some weeds and lay down some new mulch. And I did that last Saturday morning for a couple hours, got done around noon. Why did I do that? Well, Ann asked me to, and that's kind of a command. That's one good reason. But I didn't necessarily do it out of love for my landscaping or love for my yard or even love for my wife, okay? Why did I do it early Saturday morning? So I could watch football the rest of the day and not get told to go work out in the yard. If I do it early in the morning, I can watch football the whole day and not be nagged to do something else. And also, Ann had prepared a great zucchini casserole for dinner. Now, Pastor Busher and zucchini casserole, are they a good match? I love zucchini casserole, but I gotta have something of some meat. Where's the meat in this stuff? So I thought, maybe I do all this work for my beloved wife. Maybe I'll get one of those steaks, by the way, that many of you gave money towards. Thank you so much. And we'll have some meat. There's always some wrong motivation. I'll do something nice, but it's always to get something else. To do this. To get some glory. Pat on the back. Get a good meal. Doesn't the cross motivate? And the love of Jesus Christ and the mercy of my God upon me motivate me to work hard. They work, the Thessalonians. They're not perfect. They have sin all over their church. And yet Paul notes how they work prompted by the joy of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, another characteristic he mentions is how they welcome the Word of God. They receive the Word of God. A model church works hard in love for everybody, doesn't show favoritism, doesn't leave anybody out. And a model church is in the Word of God and loves the Word of God. Paul writes, "For you receive the Word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit." That's the second thing he mentions, really. How they welcomed, the Greek word there is more, it received is good, has the idea of welcoming. Your arms are open, your ears are open. You want it, you hunger for it. They welcome the message of the gospel. St. Paul was there, we think, 3 weeks planting a church in that city, Thessalonica. He was there 3 weeks planting a church. And I have a hunch those were a busy, busy 3 weeks for Paul. Exciting 3 weeks, an exhausting 3 weeks. Because he was teaching and preaching and teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the people wanted to hear, "Tell us more, Paul. Tell us more, Paul. Tell us more." He exhausted himself there. He probably got hoarse in his voice because he had to teach so much. "Tell us about the prophecies of Jesus. Tell us about his birth, all the great details of Bethlehem and the manger and the shepherds. And tell us all of that, Paul. Tell us about the miracles of Jesus. All that he did, the teachings of Jesus, every detail. We want to hear it all, St. Paul," they were saying to him. "Tell us about the passion. Palm Sunday, Holy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Tell us about Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, all the details of the cross, all that. Tell us everything. Don't leave out anything. And the resurrection. Teach us the resurrection and all the wonderful details. And the ascension. He sits at God's right hand. We'll come again. We want to know everything about Jesus, for we believe in him and we love him." They couldn't get enough. They love the Word of God. And dear friends, I tell you, I'm not one who prays that well. I don't know if anybody prays that well that often. But when I drive over on Sunday morning, and I get up Sunday morning, I pray like crazy. And I pray during church. And I pray and pray and pray. You know what I'm praying about? That God use me as an instrument. That I don't get in the way of the message, which sometimes can happen. I apologize for that. But I also pray for you that you hear. For our biggest problem these days is we don't really care about the Word of God that much. And that's a general comment. We've heard it so much. We all got lots of Bibles. We got it all over the TV and the radio. Churches everywhere. Ho-hum. It's the Word of God. And how I pray that you hear it. And believe it, and welcome it, and want more, rather than in it one ear and out the other. All I heard all week here in Knoxville was about a thumb. The whole week, Pat, was about a thumb. A lousy thumb, how important a thumb is. And we all learned yesterday how important that thumb is. Whose thumb am I talking about? Tyler Bray's thumb. Doom and gloom, he broke his thumb, we're disaster, and it kind of went that way yesterday. A thumb. How I pray as Christians in God's house, we long to hear about hands with nails in them and feet with nails in them and a side with a spear in it and blood and water coming out of it and a head with a crown of thorns on it and a back with a whip on it. For he is the Lamb who's taken away my sins. I am reconciled to my God this day. God does not count my sins against me. Alleluia, praise the Lord. Say it with me. Alleluia, praise the Lord. God does not count my sins against me. I am a child of God. I am redeemed and saved in this troubled world. That's who I am. And the model church can't get enough of it. And last of all, the Thessalonians wait. They wait patiently for the return of Jesus. At the end of the text for today, you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Of these three characteristics, the number one, most important one, is the Word of God. For the Word of God gives faith, and faith saves. That's what makes us Christians. And as we hear the Word of God and believe, then we work hard. We see our neighbor in need and we work hard to love our neighbor, blood, sweat, and tears. But then also we have our mind on heaven and we wait for our redemption. We wait for glory in paradise. We wait for the Lord to return. We can't wait to be in heaven and paradise. Working and waiting need to have a proper balance in a church, all centered in the Word of God that we hear. If a church works and works and works loving people, but we never talk about heaven, we never talk about glory, never talk about paradise, we'll burn out quick, for the work is hard. But I work awful hard when I know I can rest. I'm going to rest forever in paradise. I can work hard now for my 70, 80 years, whatever God gives me. But if I focus all my attention on heaven, all I think of is about heaven and glory and paradise, that's all I wait for, then I don't help my neighbor who sits here in need today. And what good is that if I don't love my neighbor? As we hear the Word of God, we work hard every day seeing our neighbor in need, and we love that person. But what inspires that hard work is I know I'm going to be in heaven, and I wait for the glory to come. That's already mine. You know Bobby Bowden? He was the great football coach of Florida State. He once was quoted saying a few years ago, he's retired now, but he said, after you retire, there's only one big event left, and I ain't ready for that. And so he didn't retire for a lot of years. What's the big event that's left after you retire that he ain't ready for? Death. Heaven. I disagree with Bobby Bowden. I'm ready for that. May we all be ready for that big event, either when Christ returns or when I die, may we be ready. We're baptized. We believe. We're ready. We wait patiently through sufferings and trials, for we know glory is to come. In the meantime, we work hard. So First Lutheran, the model church is not necessarily the big overflowing church. Could be, not necessarily. The model church is not the one that has the big, beautiful facilities. They're great. That don't have to have them. If you don't have it, you don't have it. The model church isn't necessarily the one that has all these activities. They're great to have. You don't have to have all that stuff all the time. Main thing is to love your family. Go to work tomorrow. You don't have to be a rich church with lots of money. The model church works hard in love, for we have the love of Christ. We're in the Word of God and hunger and thirst, knowing that's the true riches of the church, the Word of God. And we await the day of glory with patience. First Lutheran has these characteristics by faith given by the Holy Spirit. May we be an example to all the other churches, a model church. Look at how they love each other and love the world. Look at how they love the Word of God and how they wait for heaven and speak of heaven too. May God form us ever to be an example to others. Amen. We rise, confess our faith.